Space News 81. 7 hours of terror and everything changed. Hello. Thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are very well today. This is Marie, with another edition of Space News. Welcome to my channel. I take my information very seriously, and for whoever has eyes to see. I am writing this on the morning of May 23, 2025. It may be advisable to watch Space News episode 78, 79, and 80 before this one to better understand what I'm talking about. In the first piece of news for today, we have been noticing a lot of news in the media talking about sunspots and large solar flares, which threaten all telecommunications on Earth and may also cause power shortages and blackouts. Although in theory that is possible, due to the enormous amount of powerful electromagnetism and radiation that is being generated by the sun, we, from here, see that what is being transmitted in the media is again more fear-mongering. First, the Earth is encapsulated in several layers of natural electromagnetic shields, its magnetosphere, and a series of powerful artificial ones in the shape and form of the Van Allen belts, all of which lessen the impact of any natural solar storm. We see the natural and cyclical solar activity as yet another excuse to further agendas against the people of Earth, using them as excuses to cause blackouts, which are in reality caused by someone turning off a series of switches, as they have already started, especially in Europe. Therefore, it has nothing to do with the sun. It is yet another way to bother the people and cause them to always be on alert and in survival mode. I must insist that there is nothing wrong with the sun, and all that extra activity which we are indeed seeing from here is normal, especially for this time of the year, close to the solstice, come the 20th, 21st of June. Sun spots are in no way close to what Earth science tells you, as they are portals. They are holes that connect with other stars in an intrinsic ethereal natural hyperspace transit system. Countless star races use as highways, especially those who are newcomers to the interstellar community and have less powerful and less sophisticated starships. Sunspot portals appear cyclically, and for some reason we do not comprehend well, they tend to coordinate or synchronize with the Northern Hemisphere summer solstice on Earth, when cosmically speaking they shouldn't have any real causal connection, thus making us see once more that we are indeed inside an elaborate cosmic matrix with energetic connections that go far beyond the comprehension of even the most advanced stellar races. Moving on to another kind of news, there has been a lot of activity this week, with important things moving along. I said this next to my group last Wednesday, and I quote myself. There comes a time when you cannot be only spiritual, pretending to solve everything by giving love and light, because there are many beings which are not receptive to your soft methods, and if you go down that road, you will end up eaten. When you find yourself cornered and all diplomatic options have been exhausted, all that is left is to wield your sword and fight for what you love, for the best principles and ethics you follow, and for mere life and existence. Attempting to be in another dimension and in another higher vibration that will shield you from evil does not always work, as existence is a complicated energetic and vibrational soup you can't always control. There is no time to be spiritual. You react, or you are someone else's dinner. Sometimes you must fight with all your might, even in the very face of those New Age people and star races who disapprove of it, and who obviously have never seen the business end of a gun on their face. Queen Marie. All the information I am disclosing here has been carefully revised and will not hinder or cause any danger to the ongoing operations, as it does not give any new information to any opposing forces. First, I am glad to inform you that we have conducted no less than 4 successful major raids into Earth Cabal dumps, this time going very deep inside them, much to their annoyance, thus proving that hiding underground is not enough to escape from us. We have managed to rescue 198 people from Jalisco, Mexico, and 712 rescued from the large dome under Juarez, Mexico, including 44 Tejetan females, 15 Antarian females, and 653 humans, of which 78 are male and 575 female. We managed to destroy at least 3 upper levels of this last dome, and heavily damaged another 2, including the collapse of maglev train communications installations. During the raid in Jalisco, one of our STAC-1D drop attack ships suffered a malfunction. These small ships are the backbone of our tactical forces, and are, in use, somewhat comparable to human Black Hawk helicopters, although ours do not have rotor blades, as they run on serrapoint magnetic turbines and gravity cancellers. Physically, they are similar to the dropship used in the movie, Alien 2, similar in structure, but not equal. STAC stands for the English translation from the Tejetan language as follows: small tactical attack craft. The 1 stands for the first production model, and the D stands for the variant, using human terms. They are fast and capable of atmospheric and spaceflight, but they are not interstellar, so they depend on a mothership. If you have never heard of them before, in all the years of Tejetan communication, it is because they are brand new and just entering service. The drop attack ship marked with the tail number 223, belonging to the 2nd Airborne Attack Group of the Starship Alcyone, while it took off with 6 Tejetans and 16 rescued young women, suffered a malfunction caused by overheating of its main inertia dampeners, forcing it to move slowly and with no high-G maneuvers. As the Cabal had already sent 4 high-speed fighters and a swarm of helicopters to respond to the raid on one of their dumps, they closed on STAC 223 very fast. Therefore, it was forced to land somewhere deep in the southern Mexican wilderness, where it remained cloaked and waiting for its pursuers to move away. As STAC 223 was being hunted, they were also forced to remain silent, so when the other STAC ships arrived at their base inside the Starship Alcyone, one of them was missing, which started an alarm and much concern among all of us. We feared the worst, and a search and rescue mission was organized immediately, with no results, causing us all to go through a tense, sleepless night. Fortunately, at dawn, local time, STAC 223 ascended to the skies again and slowly left Earth's atmosphere to rejoin its mothership, the Alcyone. Of course, the 2 pilots and the 4 Hashmalim special operators on board were isolated and questioned. They explained what had happened and that they also had to land because the 16 rescued girls were having a nervous breakdown, and they had to assist them while they waited for the enemies to move away from the area. What also happened during their 9-hour escapade is that one of the rescued girls was very much a New Age follower, and she insisted in talking and talking way too much to the other girls, explaining to them that they were being rescued by Ashtar's command, as she insisted that although similar, the craft they were in was no human helicopter. Even when the Hashmalim initially denied such a thing, in the end, they found it quite useless as they were out-talked by their blabby new friend, who was also extremely excited about everything. The problem with this is that she convinced all the other girls that it was so, especially because she had 9 long hours to do so, and with it, she managed to destroy the narrative and their ability, or their option to be returned to Earth, should they want it. This is an example of how over-talking can derail the framing of an operation. Those 16 young women are in good health and spirits and were taken to the Andromedan biosphere ship, Viera, for sorting and attention, like nearly all the others. After this incident, another 2 highly successful raids were conducted against major Cabal dumps, right in the heart of their most guarded places. I cannot say which at this time. These two raids yielded the most rescued people so far, with a total of 989 people from the third raid and 1,201 from the fourth, plus the 198 and 712 from the first and second ones, giving us a total of 3,100 rescued people just this week, of both genders and multiple origins, including 152 Taygetan young females, 77 Antarian ones, and 472 females belonging to other pre-industrial off-planet civilizations. With a total of 2,399 full Earth humans, of which 112 are male and 2,287 are female. This giving us the best results so far, in our best attempts to get our people back, and free as many others as we can while we are at it. Half of all the rescued were moved to our support teams in the Andromedan biosphere ship Viera to be sorted out, and for healing and attention, the other half remain on board the Taygetan starships Alcyone and Asterope, as their moving to the Viera was delayed as a consequence of the next piece of news I will give you in a few moments, but may also be moved there eventually when the moment is right. Needless to say, moving and caring for so many people has been extremely challenging for the crews of all our starships, even more so as we will continue our rescue operations, even while we gather the necessary intelligence to proceed, directly being on the ground. The rescue operations will proceed as planned both in dumps and on the surface in cities, towns, and even in rural areas, in big and small scale, all while being as discreet as possible. As I described before, we mask our operations with ongoing human conflicts to cause the least damage to the Matrix, as asked and demanded by the Galactic Federation, but much of our operations are making their way into the media anyway, as I have been told, limitedly and with other causes of course, or saying that it was something else, as would be expected with their great ability to distort and normalize events, especially those that are not conventional or usual. In the next piece of hot news, Taygetan, Antarian, and Irma dreadnought ships have been shadowing the five Etorthan battleships orbiting Earth right outside the 500,000-kilometer altitude officially designated as Earth's airspace and legal jurisdiction. We know that Etorthans have been puppeteering Earth's Cabal High members for decades, if not hundreds of years, therefore dictating and causing much of the dark agendas that are imposed against the human population on Earth, and the presence of five of their biggest and most powerful starships can only be seen as a threat to all of us, especially as the Galactic Federation looks the other way and does nothing about all this, despite our warnings. Last Wednesday, the 21st of May, 2025, the starship Asterope was relieved by the starship Alcyone in her duty of shadowing the Etorthan fleet in high Earth orbit. Just a few minutes after starship Asterope returned to her place in formation with the rest of the Taygetan fleet at low Earth orbit, the Etorthan battleship at the rear of their formation and closest to the shadowing starship Alcyone, released a swarm of 90 attack drones which placed themselves around the Alcyone and to the rear in perfect firing positions. Next, the Etorthan battleship sent Captain Goriel an ultimatum message: they should leave immediately and stop shadowing the Etorthan fleet, or they would open fire against them in the Alcyone. Captain Goriel, who is no stranger to combat in space, was not intimidated by the message, and his only action was informing the rest of us of what was going on. Right after he had explained the situation to the Taygetan, Antarian, and Irma high commands, the swarm of Etorthan drones opened fire in full force against the Alcyone's eight engines. The Taygetan dreadnought shuddered with the impacts, but its powerful energy shields absorbed the hits, protecting the vessel. Immediately after, The Alcyone expanded its shields in a strong electromagnetic defensive explosion that destroyed all 90 Atorthan drones. Right as this was occurring, Alcyone's sensors detected a surge in the Atorthan's power output, indicating that it was ready to jump into hyperspace. The frequency being generated by its engines revealed the space map address they intended to jump to, and that address in space was right close behind the starship Alcyone and in perfect firing position against her. Before the Atorthan ship could do the jump, Captain Goriel fired the Alcyone's main weapons, the plasma cannon, in full force against the Atorthan battleship. Its shields yielded under the immense series of energy hits it took in rapid succession, and its rear hull, including its engines and engineering spaces, was destroyed, leaving behind a large debris field of Atorthan ship parts. The badly damaged Atorthan battleship started to spin out of control as her lights faded. Just seconds after this, the Taygetan dreadnought starships Asterope and Atlas jumped out of hyperspace just behind the Alcyone, followed by the Irma battleships, Claw 99 and Claw 54. And all of them immediately opened low-intensity bursts of plasma cannon to the remaining four Atorthan battleships, as warning shots. The remaining Atorthan battleships took direct hits to their engineering spaces, but, as they were low-intensity shots, their shields took most of the energy, only most of it, as extensive damage to their hulls was later reported to me. Three of the four remaining Atorthan battleships jumped into hyperspace, and the remaining one, their flagship, immediately moved below the 500,000-kilometer Earth airspace legal dome, using propulsion only, and therefore entering Federation-protected space, where she could not be attacked any longer. The frequency wake of the other three Atorthan ships indicates to us that they jumped back to Orion. Right after this bad incident, the Atorthan detachment immediately declared that they had suffered an unprovoked attack by us, and demanded that the Galactic Federation expel us from being around Earth. They also stated that we had prevented them from rescuing their people inside their destroyed ship, which is false, and by that time, the Alfreytans were busy helping them. As this was going on, the Antarian ambassador, as Ed Nydia, went into action with her diplomatic and legal abilities with the local Galactic Federation. At the same time, as Ed Nydia also informed Antarian High Command back home of what was going on, and as a result of all this, the Antarian 8th Battle Fleet, consisting of 24 battleships, immediately set sail towards Earth. Same way, the Irma King Rua sent for an additional 5 Claw-class dreadnoughts to reinforce the feline presence here, all of which arrived in less than 30 minutes due to the proximity of their home star Vega. Ambassador, as Ed Nydia, stated to the local Galactic Federation that our group acted in self-defense and completely under all the legalities space law imposes. She then demanded that all the Atorthans be expelled from Earth's orbit. At this point, Antaria, Taygeta, and Irma had acquired complete air and space superiority around Earth, even more so as several of the most prominent and notorious star races we all know, graciously decided that they wanted no part in all of this, as they decided to evacuate Earth's orbit en masse, as they preferred to run away than to be faced with having to take sides. At this very point, King Rua, Ambassador Nydia, and I openly declared to the local Federation and to the few remaining neutral star races remaining here that we were acting under space law and the very best principles of the Galactic Federation. We declared that the local Federation headquarters in the Andromedan Viera were not acting according to those basic principles, and had not observed them for a very long time. Therefore we, as a triad group, Antaria, Irma, and Taygeta, declare ourselves to be the true Galactic Federation, and not the one that had been functioning so far. King Rua and I gave the Andromedan biosphere ship, Viera, that has always acted like the Galactic Federation's local headquarters, an ultimatum to relinquish all its powers and surrender to us, or face being militarily invaded, all under space law and under the very principles of the Galactic Federation, that legally forces us to act against whoever is aggressively disregarding those laws and principles. King Rua positioned five of his dreadnoughts around the Viera, in an invasion formation, while the Antarians took position around Earth, creating a protective dome, as at this exact point, 50 larger Tauthan and Orion battleships exited hyperspace and surrounded Earth, all of them ready for battle. While all of this was going on, a large raid against a major dome was in progress on Earth, so we had our hands full and on two fronts. Ambassador, as Ed Nidia, continued with her diplomatic efforts, demanding the Federation High Command in the Viera to order all those Tauthan and Orion battleships to leave immediately or they would have to face a full-scale war, right outside Earth. Right at this time, the Antarian Eighth Fleet revealed itself behind the Tauthan and Orion ships, also while the Tejetan dreadnoughts Astarope and Atlas positioned themselves next to the Irma fleet poised to invade the Viera with their specialized ground forces and equipment. At the same time, the shaken starship Alcyone descended to low Earth orbit to recover stack ground assault craft coming up from their raids on several dumps, all heavily loaded with rescued people. There was a tense calm for a few minutes, and then a clear message came from the Viera. It read, "Do not invade, we surrender, we are on your side, and we surrender." Please note something critically important here, it was the Andromedans who stated their surrender, and not the local Galactic Federation. Less than 5 minutes after that, the Alfrata Centauri local high command stated the same, "We surrender, we are on your side, do not shoot at us. We place ourselves at your orders." Everything was happening very fast, and in under 7 hours, we acquired total control of Earth's legal airspace. The local Federation immediately ordered the 50 ships from Orion to move away, and they complied, also because they were in the sights of the Antarian 7th and 8th battle fleets. They knew that they were outmatched by all of us, if not outnumbered. Under Federation law, the Tauthan flagship was allowed to remain here for diplomatic reasons only, especially because of what had just happened, because they pushed the idea that they were the victims, this very much against my group's wishes. The surrender of the Viera was not complete, as it was the Andromedans only, and not the Federation representatives, who remained inside and under the protection of the very legal rules we obeyed and observed as we acted. The situation is as follows. Under the very rules of the Galactic Federation, my group, Antaria, Irma, and Teigita take full control of all the airspace and space around Earth. We have managed to expel the dubious and shady invaders from Orion, including the Tauthans, except for two of their ships, one badly damaged and out of service, and their flagship which remains here for diplomatic reasons only, although our legal representative, Ambassador Azed Nidia, is fighting to kick those away as well. We have taken full control over all flight and spaceflight operations in the Earth's vicinity. As we are acting with full legal Galactic Federation background, and under the best ethical and spiritual principles with which it was founded, we declare ourselves as the real Galactic Federation, and we are here to clean up the house. The local Federation headquarters in the Viera is forced to recognize us, or we will invade them and kick them out, yet we do not have any communication with the higher levels of the Galactic Federation, as must be, but this is not our fault as we are open for communication, one which never arrives. We have not yet taken control over the mechanism that is governing planet Earth, but we are working at it, as we demand full control over Earth's operations in the Viera, as well as full control over the internet-based servers also in the Viera, and which govern all communications on Earth. This is where the situation continues to be extremely tense, as failure to comply will inevitably cause my group to enter the Viera and take control by force. Yet we cannot do so legally yet, as the Andromedan surrender was a clever move of the regressive part, as we cannot invade them if they have declared surrender and full cooperation with us, or we would be attacking a peaceful Federation member, Andromeda, which in the end is acting like a hostage in all this situation. For all that matters, Andromeda and its Viera are being kept as hostages to prevent my group from fully invading it, and with that action, take control over Earth. We are also fully aware that the Orion forces and their handlers in the darkest corners of the bad side of the Galactic Federation are regrouping and may attack again at any time, although if they would do so in these circumstances, they would be fully against space law, and it would mean an all-out war. For this same reason, our home planets remain on full alert as we do not know if they will perform a vengeance attack on them. In the Pleiades, the Salations and the Engen are on full alert and patrolling the area. Same way, the Pleiadian Alcyon-class dreadnought, Starship Electra, is on full alert as she patrols planet Syndrial, the only Tegetan colony outside the M45 Pleiades star cluster. The Etorthans must be really angry, because they were bested by the Tegetan's oldest dreadnought, the aging but impressively capable starship Alcyon. In the meantime, sorting and tending to the needs of thousands of people we have extracted only in the last week has become a huge humanitarian challenge, especially when we can no longer trust they will be treated well in the Viera. Preparations are fast underway to extract from the Viera all the remaining people we have there, as well as our staff and friends working there, and we will be bringing all those people on board our starships and finally will be taken to a special facility in planet Tema, from where they will be sorted out and returned to their home planets, or if necessary, they may be adopted by a foster interstellar civilization. I am also very glad to inform you that starships Rytal and Ventra are back in service and will be providing additional transportation for all those people, and they too will be tasked to return some of them to their planets of origin. The great starship Talika, herself, will re-enter service soon, as I have been informed. Things turned around for Earth on the 21st of May, 2025, but this does not necessarily mean it will be reflected on to what is happening on the surface soon. We cannot know that. We strongly suspect it may increase the amount of dark agendas against the human population, as the regressive ones are hard at work trying not to lose power and control over the planet. They will most certainly try their best to accelerate their evil plans as they know their supremacy is falling. So this is a very dangerous spot we are all in. Please stay strong and with high hopes. We are doing everything we can from up here, and we are already acting directly down there as well. And after saying all this, I must also state that I must describe what is known from the astral side of things, because it is all connected, and the real fight is there, and it stems from there. We are only seeing what is going on in the side of the living here. But this is a great victory for all of us. But a lot of work must still be done, and a lot of things must still come to pass. It is always a pleasure to write for you, my friends. A big thank you to all the sponsors of my channel. You are changing worlds here. This will be all for today. As always, thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing, and subscribing for more. It helps this channel grow a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. With much love and appreciation, your friend, Queen Marie, First of Teyagita.